Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says she wants schools offering in-person instruction options again by March. For some districts, this will be the first time having kids back in the classroom since the pandemic began. That was the case for Grand Rapids Public Schools, who welcomed students back into buildings in January after months of online-only learning. Today, the district is actually having a snow day, but they're well into a hybrid learning mode. Here to talk to us about how it's going and what the plan looks like going forward is Superintendent Leedrian Roby. Dr. Roby, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you so much, April. It's good to be back.
So January 19th was the first day back. What was that first day like?
It was similar to a lot of the first days of school when you think in the fall, where kids are, you know, kind of looking around, they're trying to get to know one another. And what was weird is because, of course, it's January versus August, but lots of excitement, lots of smiles, lots of parents who were extremely happy as they were saying goodbye to their kiddos. Our staff has been phenomenal. They were welcoming kids back, showing them where to go to their classes. Teachers are busy kind of setting the school community in the in-person model. So, you know, helping set expectations with their students, getting an opportunity to get to know them. We all had kind of butterflies, like, what is this going to be like? And it went well. I mean, lots of smiles. To be able to hear the laughter on the playgrounds and kids talking to one another, you don't know, you miss it until you haven't had it.
How did you decide that mid to late January was the right time to reopen?
So we had a couple of starts and stops. And when we rolled out that we were going to be virtual in August, we were thinking, you know, by maybe mid-October, we'd be ready to go into some in-person learning. And that's when we started to see kind of a huge uptick of number of cases identified with COVID-19. And we, you know, definitely kept our community involved in conversations through surveys and town hall meetings and different ways to kind of see where people were at, working very closely with our stakeholders of our board and our teachers union and our building principals to find out what this looks like. And what we, you know, have always tried to do is follow what the science was saying and seeing where we were as a community, as part of Kent County, and then also statewide, and then watching what other neighboring districts were doing to find out, you know, how they were kind of managing some of these things. And so when we decided that we weren't quite ready in the fall, we pushed it back a little further, and we continued to work with making sure our buildings were ready, making sure that staff had the necessary PPE equipment and the trainings that were in place, and then also keeping our families engaged around what our process was along the way, including a data dashboard so families could see what was taking place in the county, what's taking place in each of our schools, so we're not making things up, that they have a reference point to say, okay, this is what's going on, and then creating a parent handbook that is specifically COVID-related. So if there are incidences or things that are taking place, there's a framework for families to follow to say, okay, this is what's going to happen, and this is the processes and protocols that we follow.
I've heard mixed reports from several different school districts and several different grade levels about how those schools across Michigan that are back face-to-face, how it's going, whether kids and staff in different towns have found it difficult to maintain distance and do the other things they need to do to operate safely. How would you say that's going? What does school look like now, and what kind of safety measures have been easy and which have been a little more challenging?
So I think it's going, again, pretty well. If you were to look at our schools now in comparison to where they were, you know, 9 months ago or 10 months ago, you see a lot more signage. And so we have, like, littered our schools with signage around where to sit and their schedules, and our building principals and their teams have worked very closely. So as we are in hybrid, kids know where they're supposed to go. They know how they're supposed to flow through the building, which is extremely helpful. And I think that has helped. We also have kind of, and when I say details, we have details and plans on top of plans. We have, you know, masks for our kids who may have forgotten masks, or their mask break during the day, or whatever those things are. We have water bottles. We have everything kind of marked off. And again, we are working very closely with our community to keep them informed as to what's taking place, and that has helped. I won't pretend as if no one will ever get sick, but we put forth so many kind of plans to help mitigate that, that our families and our staff feel really comfortable being in our buildings.
We know that nationally, Black families have been under very specific pressures during the school closures that have happened because of the pandemic. Some of those are health related. You know, sometimes because, you know, parents may be employed at jobs, frontline jobs, where they cannot take sick time. You know, they've made all these arrangements. They've turned everything inside out in order to get this to work. There may also be some families that have concerns about returning their kids to school because they are worried about the learning environment that their kids would be going back into, and they're not sure if the support would be there. Have you noticed any differences between what Black families have been communicating to the district about their comfort level with coming back?
Yes, and I think, you know, thank you for that question. I think with our African-American families and our families of for people of color, often they are more intergenerational within the same household. And so that also is a factor in the decision that families will have made. And again, we want to make sure that people understand that we are trying our level best to ensure that we have mitigation efforts in place to support their needs. And then also respectful of, yeah, if this doesn't work for your family, here is the other option. And we're going to make sure that your child has the most rigorous experience, academic experience, whether it be in person or virtual. And that's the job and the work that we should be doing. But to the point of, you know, should Black families or our Latino families look at it differently? I think everybody has to decide what works best for their own individual family and situation and make that choice. And then also get information. One of the things that I think I've encouraged people as much as possible, get information. I will certainly do my, you know, my part to get information out to my broader community, but then I also encourage them to look online at the CDC, look online at the health department, talk to your healthcare workers to find out what you should be doing. Don't just take someone else's word for it. And certainly don't go to like those social platforms where you're looking to see what people are saying. Get information from legitimate, verified sources and then make a decision what's good for you.
Mm-hmm. Overall, how many of Grand Rapids families did choose to send their kids back in person versus online?
2/3. And so we had about 68 percent of our families who selected the hybrid option, and about 1/3, which is about 5,000 of our families, students who have remained 100% virtual. And so of the 68% or so that are in the hybrid, they go to school 2 days a week. They're either in cohort A, which is Monday, Tuesday, or they're in cohort B, which is Thursday, Friday. And Wednesday is our deep clean day. And of course, we are cleaning, you know, every day that students are in session, but we have, you know, 2 days for each of those cohorts.
Do you know how many staffers have been able to get vaccinated in advance of the return to classroom?
So interestingly, we have about 400 of our staff. We just did a survey, and we're starting a survey actually, that about 400 of our staff have been vaccinated either once or have received the booster shot. And because that was something that I wanted to know too, it's like, how has this been made available to our staff, and are they taking advantage of it?
We knew going into last school year, that is in the fall, we knew that there was a percentage of teachers in Michigan that were thinking a little bit more seriously about not returning to the classroom, either retiring or finding some different career options, because there was so much unknown. You know, there was a lot that we didn't know about a vaccine being available. There was a lot we didn't know about how online teaching was going to work. Has it been difficult to staff Grand Rapids classrooms since the return to class on the 19th?
It really hasn't. And I think, I mean, there have been challenges, so I don't want to mislead and make it seem as if, oh yeah, everything's great. We've worked very closely with our teachers union, and again, it's about the collaboration and solution finding together around what's working and what the needs are, and then being responsive to what people are saying that they are needing. But part of it is information. I think our staff have been phenomenal because we have done this work together. It's been a lift together, and we've tried really hard to be really responsive to what people are saying that they need, or taking in suggestions about what this could look like. And so it's not just been, you know, me as the superintendent making the decision or our district office. We've done this work in collaboration with our stakeholders and really have been wanting to have a level of transparency so people are able to get their questions asked and answered. And if we don't know, then that's an opportunity for us to kind of dig deeper.
Dr. Ledrian Roby is superintendent of Grand Rapids Public Schools. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Have a good one.